President Bush is scheduled to meet with Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf over the weekend. The White House wants to reward its new ally by boosting Pakistan's economy. The president has proposed cutting tariffs on Pakistan's exports to the United States. About 70% of Pakistan's exports are textiles. U.S. textile manufacturers say less expensive imports from Pakistan would cost thousands of American jobs. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
Pakistan is in a bind. While its political ties to the U.S. may have solidified, economic links are threatening to come undone. Textiles are Pakistan's main export, and the U.S. is its biggest customer. Since September 11th, orders from the U.S. have dropped by two-thirds, according to an industry trade group. Daniel Gazetua, import manager for Perry Ellis International, says U.S. importers are jittery because of the images of Pakistan they see on TV.
A regular peaceful street, that's not news. You know, the news is the demonstration. The news is burning a flag in the street. So that's what we're getting, and then that's shaping our perceptions of an unstable, dangerous climate.
Gazetua says the cost of doing business in Pakistan is rising. Shipping companies have tacked on a 10% war risk surcharge. Insurers have hiked their rates by 20%, and it's hard to get quality control inspectors to visit the factories.
They don't want to go. I mean, they're seeing a potentially dangerous, unsafe situation, so our QC people won't go in there, and we're not going to make them go in there.
And importers worry that political strife could shut down factories or ports. Bilal Sethi says these fears are misplaced.
We have had no trouble making any production. We have had no trouble shipping any goods out of Pakistan, both by ocean and by air.
Sethi is vice president of Six Sigma Apparel, which exports clothing from 20 factories in Lahore, Pakistan, for Abercrombie & Fitch, Guess, and others. He says existing customers have cut back and new ones are nowhere to be found.
You know, customers, the minute they hear the name Pakistan, they flat out refuse to even speak with us further. They bang down the phone. They do not even want to hear a single word forward. So even we could explain to them as to what is actually happening in Pakistan.
Sethi is not alone.
My business has basically come to a standstill.
Charles Antaby is president of a garment trading company that serves giant retailers like Walmart and Target. He's worried that the 6,000 Pakistani workers who make the goods he imports will soon lose their jobs.
The people live hand-to-mouth, day-to-day, and if they're not going to work, they're going to be begging on the streets. They're not going to be able to eat.
Pakistan's Minister for Commerce, Production and Industry, Abdul Razak Daoud, says this would not be good for the U.S. either. He relates the story of one of the many workers who've already been laid off.
The worker asked, "Why is that?" And the manager told him, "Well, the orders are not coming in from America." So obviously the worker said, "But hey, I thought we were all on the same side. Why am I being hurt?" Now the real worry is that that person leaves the, he leaves his job. The next Friday he goes to the mosque. After prayers, he joins the procession.
The anti-American procession, Daoud adds. He says the U.S. needs to stem the tide.
Give us some advantage, like giving us the duty-free access into the United States, as the Europeans have done, and that gives the incentive to the buyer to come to Pakistan. That's what we want at this moment.
Tariffs on imported textiles average 17.5%, so duty-free access would make a big difference. The Bush administration has sent Congress a bill that would give the president broad authority to cut tariffs on Pakistan's exports. Many lawmakers agree that something should be done for Pakistan. North Carolina Republican Howard Coble says he knows Pakistan's government has stuck its neck out by abandoning the Taliban and siding with the U.S.
I'm not suggesting that we slam the door in Pakistan's face, but I don't want our response to Pakistan to be executed on the backs of textile people who work in my district.
And that's the dilemma. Charles Bremer, Director of International Trade for the American Textile Manufacturers Institute, says that's exactly what would happen.
On account of imports, and many of them from Pakistan, 63,000 textile workers have lost their jobs in just the last year, and our industry is now closing plants at the rate of 2 per week.
R.L. Stowe Mills is closing down 2 plants in North Carolina right now. Worker Charlie Ward stands in a vast room amid rows of machines that stretch and spin cotton yarn into thread. Cotton is everywhere, stuck to the brick walls and vents, and floating through the air.
We are in the main part of the spinning department. We have 78 spinning frames in here now. The mill is very slowly coming to a halt.
Ward's been at this plant for 35 years and certainly doesn't blame his boss, Harding Stowe, for what's happened.
We grew up together, and it just like part of my family. I knew his dad well, and it brings tears to my eyes to think about losing him.
Harding Stowe's employees smile and wave at him as he walks through the plant. Stowe looks shell-shocked. He points out a dozen immaculate new machines the size of dumpsters that used to fluff and clean the raw cotton as it came in. They've already fallen silent.
We have tried to make more unique products. We tried to make products that are not readily available in other parts of the world. However, because we're closing plants and because we've had to lay off people, we're obviously not winning the battle.
Industry spokesman Charles Bremer argues that granting Pakistan duty-free entry would eliminate another 3,000 American jobs immediately.
We have encouraged our members to contact their congressmen and senators to see that this bill does not become law.
Pakistan's government is lobbying, too. Abdul Daoud has met with top officials in the Bush administration.
They have all shown sympathy and the need for action, and we're now actually waiting for it.
He says his country can't afford to wait much longer. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.